We have all seen their faces staring at us from notices posted in public streets or when shared on social media by worried family members. Occasionally they appear in private advertisements placed in the public notices section of suburban newspapers. Popular television programs are made about them, both documentaries and dramas. They are the missing ones, those who have seemingly disappeared without trace from their previous lives, leaving desperately anxious relatives who, even years later, still cling to the hope that one day their lost ones will miraculously emerge alive from the abyss of the unknown. People who have been through this experience say that it is the lack of knowledge about what has happened that is the worst aspect of their suffering. The loss of a loved one, without the definitive finding of a body, creates a living purgatory for those left behind, in which they cannot properly grieve and mostly cannot seek justice. The weight of the loss is compounded by the hope that the one who has disappeared will one day return, and is sometimes tinged with anger at the missing one as the only person they can blame for their endless suffering. Imagining what may have happened to those who have disappeared is often far worse than the knowledge of their real fate. Those in the know, mainly police or private detectives who investigate the disappearance of missing persons, will tell you that there are a number of distinct categories of people who vanish forever without trace. There are the young hitchhikers who have been picked up on the roads, never to be seen again, who presumably have been sexually assaulted or robbed or both and then murdered. There are the drug dealers who have fallen foul of others in the milieu of their trade, suppliers, competitors or customers. There are those who have escaped from troubled and embittered lives in order to establish new ones where they can start afresh and who found it too confronting to say goodbye to those left behind. There are those in the throes of extreme mental anguish, often due to mental illness, who make the decision to put an end to their suffering, but wish to spare their loved ones the trauma of seeing their lifeless bodies. And there are those who engage in perilous solo recreational activities like rock fishermen or wilderness adventurers who have presumably been swallowed up by the elements whilst engaging in their favourite pastime. It is rare that a long-term missing person cannot be placed into one of these categories. Apart from these, numerous people choose for a variety of reasons to make themselves scarce for a period of time, but resume their normal lives after a few days, weeks or months, or even years. There are also some who disappear whose bodies are eventually located and who have died in tragic or suspicious circumstances. These are not the missing ones that I am writing about in this book. This is about those who disappear, never to come back, and whose bodies are never found. They are the missing, presumed dead. Happy, healthy, mature-age, middle-class women rarely go missing for more than a few days, and they are hardly ever among the ranks of those who are never found. Dorothy Davis and Kerry Whelan were not hitchhikers, or associates of drug dealers, or unhappy with their lives, or suffering from mental health issues. In fact, they fell well outside any of the conventional categories of people at risk of permanently disappearing. Dorothy Davis was a 74-year-old widow who lived in the quiet, upmarket seaside suburb of Lurline Bay in southeastern Sydney. She was financially comfortable and led a peaceful, predictable life centred around her children, grandchildren and many friends. She suffered from a few of the usual physical ailments of people of her age, including arthritis. Kerry Whelan, was an active and healthy 39-year-old with an affluent family-based lifestyle. She lived with her husband, Bernie Whelan, the CEO of an Australian arm of Crown Equipment, a large multinational company that made forklifts, and their three children, on an expansive rural property at Currajong, on the northwestern outskirts of Sydney, where they ran horses and enjoyed country life. Dorothy Davis and Kerry Whelan came from different parts of Sydney, mixed in quite different circles, and led completely different lives. They never met each other, and if they had, would have had little in common. In fact, Dorothy Davis and Kerry Whelan had only one thing in common. They both knew Bruce Allen Burrell.